You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Today, Catherine Lanfer is sitting in for John Hockenberry.
Hey, Adora.
Hey there, Catherine. And we're going to begin in Pakistan, where President Pervez Musharraf, whose political opponents have been calling for him to face a vote of confidence vote, actually urged national unity and reconciliation today, as opposed to resigning, which were the reported rumors. Joining us now for the very latest is Mark Dummett, is a BBC correspondent coming to us from Islamabad. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, the line's not great. I don't know, maybe something in the atmosphere here in Pakistan. There's a storm brewing, so forgive me if I don't understand or hear all of your questions.
Well, let's just start with there were rumors that Musharraf might step down today, which is Independence Day for Pakistan, but he didn't do that. Instead, what did he say to the public today? Oh, I think we might have lost Mark there.
We
had a bit of
a
technical difficulty there, and certainly we'll try to get back to Pakistan if we can. But, Catherine, I think you have another story for us.
We certainly do. We're going to go now to Cliff Levy, who is the Moscow bureau chief for the New York Times, hoping to talk to him about what is going on. Diplomatic efforts, of course, just getting underway today to resolve the conflict between Georgia and Russia. But there are those critics who look at the situation and say that there really isn't much that American and European diplomats can do. To get more on that, we're going to go to Cliff, who joins us from Moscow. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. What options are there for American, as Condoleezza Rice, you know, makes her way over to Georgia today, and we know that in Moscow diplomatic talks are also starting, what options really do the Europeans and the Americans have?
Well, I mean, there are not a lot of easy options. There are sort of broad options in kind of the international arena. For example, military cooperation between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. has already today canceled some naval maneuvers between the two countries. There are sort of these kind of symbolic gestures. Moving ahead, there is, for example, Russian membership in the World Trade Organization, which is pending at this point and which any single country can block. There's also more drastic measures like Russian membership in a group of eight countries. For example, Senator John McCain, the Republican presidential candidate, has called for Russia to be kicked out of the G8.
And Cliff, I'm going to stop you right now because I think, as my colleague Adora Udoji was saying earlier today before we went on air, it's pretty clear that Russia isn't going to make the WTO in the same way Georgia is probably not going to make NATO. But what sense do we have that Russia even cares at this point?
I'm sorry, you got cut off. Russia even cares about the WTO or NATO?
Yes. That these threats actually carry any weight to a country that looks from some observer's standpoint as if it's so intent on redrawing the map that this isn't really going to function as a serious threat to them.
Well, you know, from the viewpoint of Moscow and from there are a lot of contradictory feelings going on here. Russia, on the one hand, wants to assert its standing in the world. It wants to show that it once again is a player. On the other hand, it still seeks the approval of the West, and I think that cannot be underestimated. So to say that Russia doesn't really care at all about any of these activities or actions, I think would be a misunderstanding of the situation. The fact is that Russia is acutely sensitive to how it's perceived in the world and to how other countries treat it. So I think, you know, if they didn't care about any of this, they'd be marching into Tbilisi right now, and they're not. So, some of the very hawkish things that you perhaps hear in some Western capitals or in Washington now about how Russia is completely flouting the international order, I think that may not entirely capture the dynamic that's going on. There is a certain line that at least at this point they're not ready to cross. And I think they're not ready to cross it because they know that the backlash would be pretty severe.
Now, Cliff, given that we have somebody that just came over the wire saying that it looks as if Russian forces are determined to make sure that there is no Georgian army left to fight, that they are trying to dismantle whatever military infrastructure there is, what exactly is that line that Russia won't cross?
Well, I saw that bulletin that just came over the wire also. That has not been fully fleshed out. And, you know, given that this is a war and this is a conflict on the ground, there's been a lot of sort of information that's come out that has later proved to be not entirely true. So I would urge some caution until we have a chance to really assess what's going on the ground. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, certainly with the fact that we have all of these conflicting reports about what's going on, caution is certainly the word.
And we're going to bring in, I'm going to ask you to hold on, Cliff, because we're just going to bring into this conversation Jonathan Marcus, who is a diplomatic correspondent from the BBC, coming to us from London. And Jonathan, what's your take on the fact that now U.S. officials are saying Russia is apparently sabotaging airfields and other installations in Georgia? And this is coming on the heels of 5 explosions, witnesses say they have heard near the city of Gori.
Well, look, clearly, as my colleague there said a moment ago, a lot of the reports coming out of Georgia have not been well sourced, and we don't have any independent confirmation of this. I mean, clearly, in that small part of Georgia that the Russian forces still occupy outside of the two separatist enclaves, it looks as though the Russians clearly are intent on doing as much damage as they can to Georgia's military infrastructure to make sure that Georgia is not in a position to launch any kind of military operation against the separatist areas in the near future. I mean, clearly, it will be no surprise if in due course the Americans and others choose to rebuild parts of Georgia's military forces, certainly mm-hmm. with defensive weapons. But the Russians are the masters on the ground at the moment in the areas that they are continuing to hold. The problem with this peace agreement is that it has no timelines to get the Russians to pull back. The Russians are using all sorts of excuses about their role as peacekeepers to maintain stability.
So the ceasefire essentially really has no teeth. Let's take a look at the diplomatic efforts that are being made, particularly today as Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in France for meetings with the President Sarkozy there. And then we'll be moving to Georgia. What kind of influence is this trip, do you think, going to carry at all for any of the parties?
Well, look, Condoleezza Rice and the Americans, I think, are eager to make sure that they and the Europeans are all reading as far as possible from the same song sheet. I think the peace agreement, the ceasefire accord anyway, that President Nicolas Sarkozy took to Moscow and to Tbilisi was very much an immediate off-the-cuff effort. It owed its origins more in Europe than it did necessarily in Washington. So I think the Americans are very eager to try and ensure that the French president, who is clearly the in pole position for the Europeans on this, and perhaps not quite as tough maybe as some in the Bush administration would like, they're eager to see the Americans and the Europeans as far as possible on the same page.
And Cliff, do you think there's been so much talk about how Russia's action has taken the world aback, and particularly the United States? Do you think that's a fair statement, and were the signs there, and are the signs there as to what Russia hopes to accomplish through this?
Well, let me just add something that my colleague just add to something that my colleague said. You know, it's been noticed here that Condoleezza Rice is only going to Tbilisi; she's not going to Moscow, and that's a pretty stark symbol because. Mm. The French President Sarkozy went to both Moscow and Tbilisi. Angela Merkel, the German leader, is coming to Moscow tomorrow. It's an interesting sign that President Bush did not send his Secretary of State to both capitals, only to one. I mean, you could argue either side on whether or not that's a mistake or not, whether you want to be more inclusive or more provocative.
But are they making a statement? Are the Russians taking that as some kind of are the Russians taking that as some kind of statement that Rice is not coming to Moscow?
Oh, clearly. It's been very noted here that Rice is not coming to Moscow. I mean, Secretary Rice has been to Moscow many times. She's a Russia expert. She speaks decent Russian. The fact that she's only going to Tbilisi really is being taken as a statement here. In terms of, you know, what Russia is trying to demonstrate to the world, I think obviously they are trying to show that they have a sphere of influence on the rim of the old Soviet Empire, and that they feel that it's important to preserve that, rightly or wrongly.
Rightly or wrongly. I think that you're going to be saying that, rightly or wrongly, Cliff. I think a lot of people are going to be saying that over the next days and weeks as this situation continues and is looked back upon. Cliff Levy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cliff Levy, the Moscow Bureau Chief for the New York Times. And we also had on the line Jonathan Marcus. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Jonathan Marcus is a diplomatic correspondent at the BBC.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.